Just those words that struck me. One thing is needful. In Luke 10 and verse 42. But, meaning only there, but one thing is needful. Jesus loved to go to Bethany, to the house of Lazarus, of whom it is said that thou whom thou lovest is sick. He loved to go and see Martha, and he loved to go and see Mary, and they loved to have him. So we're talking about believers here in him. And I want to talk about that for a while, but I also want to apply this message to unbelievers also. Now, it was said of Lazarus that he was the one, or one, whom the Saviour loved. And in John 11, there's a remarkable thing said about Martha. I've never really got to the bottom of it, but it makes you think that there's more to Martha than you might easily imagine. Do you remember that Lazarus had died? And when Jesus returned and eventually raised him from the dead, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, while Mary remained still in the house. The following conversation took place. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." You could say that was faith, couldn't you? You could say that was faith. Jesus knew it wasn't the whole story, and there was more to learn, because there were greater things that were to be taught about resurrection. But Mary didn't lack faith. But it's verse 22 of John 11 that's remarkable. "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." But Lazarus was dead. Is she not able there to show that she did have a faith? That Jesus had the power to raise him from the dead? Now, the reason I say that about Martha is that the picture of Martha that most of us are familiar with is the one that comes from these verses. And I want to show you that even a Christian who has the greatest trust in the Lord Jesus can still make life hard and unbearable for, in this case, herself or himself and others. Now, Martha, we read, was cumbered about much serving. It was Martha who welcomed Jesus. It was Martha who was getting the meal ready for Jesus. Mary wasn't involved. But Mary, her sister, sat at the feet of Jesus. Another way of putting was learning from him, lapping up his teaching. And Jesus was teaching her in the other room, probably. And Martha was feeling more and more resentful. She's left alone to do all the work. Mary is having a nice time sitting and having a conversation. Well, not exactly, but you can see how Martha's mind would go. Sitting and having this conversation. So eventually, Martha gets to bursting point. Now, the scripture is very honest. She is cumbered concerning much serving. We're not told, but I wonder if Jesus would have been quite happy not to have had a meal. Whether he would have been quite happy to have had Martha and Mary sitting there learning together with him. But Martha is a believer. She is not an unbeliever. She trusts Jesus. She welcomes Jesus to her house. She loves him. And she trusts him. She's a different personality from Mary. But she's not deficient in faith. But she's cumbered. Mary isn't cumbered. And the encumbrance doesn't lie so much in the fact that Mary is sitting, listening to Jesus, and Martha is preparing the food. Both were doing what they liked to do. The encumbrance lies in the fact, she says, that she's doing it alone. But the encumbrance lies in the disparity. She felt that she was missing out. That she was missing something that she would have liked to have been part of. But somebody's got to get the meal. Somebody's got to do the work. We don't find it difficult to understand Martha. She came to the Lord Jesus, a bit like Peter, with rash words. Carest thou not, or dost thou not care, that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Remember the disciples in the boat. Carest thou not that we perish? If you wanted to, if at the day of judgment Jesus wanted to trap us by our words, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on, would we? But of course he doesn't, and he doesn't hear. But isn't it interesting? Whose fault was it? Martha's. So who does she blame? Sister and the Lord. Dost thou not care, that's the Lord's fault, that my sister, her fault, has left me? And there may be many such occasions in our life when we have brought disappointment and upset to others because we've gone over the top, really. We're being rash. Mary would care. Jesus cared. Mary hadn't abandoned Martha. She listened to Jesus' teaching. But Martha had lost her priorities. I hesitate to use the common phrase, she'd lost the plot. But what this scripture brings out is she had let go of the number one priority. One thing. Bid her, therefore, that she come and help me. She had to speak to Jesus. He was the man. She couldn't come into her sister in front of Jesus and say, hey, come and help me. She had to address it through the Lord. So she says, bid her therefore that she come and help me. And Jesus' answer, very, very supportive of Mary, who had been accused, very, very penetrating to Martha. The repetition of her name, more in sorrow than anger, of course. Martha, Martha, soothing ruffled feathers, quietening her spirit. But Jesus goes to the root of her problem. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. not just much serving. There's lots of other things. You're a restless spirit. If you're not up and about and doing this and doing the other, and each one brings a care, you can't settle. Thou art careful. Now, that's not the modern sense of the term, as you well know. It means you're full of cares. You're full of cares. Everything is a worry to you. Got a finger in every pie, and every one of them bothers you. And it's not the way. Not the way to bring peace to the household. It's not the way to bring peace to your soul. And trouble. Oh, well, I wouldn't have dared to say that to Martha, but the Lord can be honest. But Martha, you're a troubled person. Trouble with a capital T fits you well. You're troubled about many things. You're full of cares and you're full of troubles. But it's not just the cooking. It's not just the preparing of meals. Not just the ordering of the supplies. It's everything. And she knew this was true. She didn't question it. She showed no further sign of anger. I don't think it was a frosty meal that happened afterwards. I don't imagine any of these things. But the Lord, in healing her, went straight to the centre of her heart's restlessness. Too many things. My experience at grammar school led me to believe that they can do children a grave disservice. And it's happened, I suppose, every year. Nathaniel, it's now met the problem. You're taught to go to so many clubs, and I suppose the idea is that somewhere along the line you'll find a hobby or something that suits you well and your gifts will be well used. But the trouble is you get interested in so many different things, very few of which you can keep up with, but it sets the heart thinking of all sorts of things you never knew about before. One thing is needful. Only one thing is needful. It's a good and wonderful spiritual guide when any of us are overwrought, when any of us are distressed. One thing alone is needful, necessary. That's Jesus. And that's hearing him. And that's being in his company. And that's listening to him. And that's hearing his word and applying it to our lives. And for us in our day who do not see him in the flesh, it's the time we spend in the scriptures with him. Listening to him. Down the years, but just straight to our soul. Learning from him. Having time away from the world. One thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part. The Greek doesn't have that. The Greek just says, Mary hath chosen the good part. It was a choice even with Mary. Though perhaps constitutionally she wasn't so inclined to be rushing and tearing everywhere. Nevertheless, she had made a choice. Jesus would be honest, and if he'd pushed her or persuaded her to come and listen to him talking, I'm sure he would have said. But he said, Mary has chosen. Perhaps Mary asked him. Perhaps she asked him a question. Perhaps she began a conversation about something he'd just done. Or about one of the parables that we've just, it just comes before. But Mary had chosen. The implication is that Martha also made a choice. One chose the good part that only did her good, did her soul good, did everything good. And Martha chose a way which was restless and overbearing on her. And then you see Jesus at his most steely, I don't think that's the word really, but despite how Martha acts, big my sister that she helped me, he says, Mary hath chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. He had no intention of releasing Mary to help Martha. He wasn't being unkind, as I've suggested. He would have done without the meal. For all we know, the meal might have been an extension of Martha's pride. But for whatever reason, the Lord was utterly firm. Now, they were believers. And it's about sanctification in a way. That we get to a stage when we need to learn this from the Lord or that from the Lord. Most of us, by nature, sheer away from the things that go straight to our constitution, our character. Or we'll put all sorts of things right that are external to us, but if it hits our actual nature, I've told you the story often of the time I used to go to Liverpool Street along the one occasion when I fell off the parapet watching train numbers. That's when I was a boy. Very sooty, very oily, very mucky steam trains, and cut my knee wide open and went to see the matron, as it then was, of the station there. She put the stuff right in. She used the very expression that comes up in Dad's Army. I said, can't you put it somewhere else? Why do you have to put it where it hurts? Worse than that effect, she says, stupid boy. But we don't like the things that Jesus says to be pressed on our weak points. We leave them alone, if we can. If we could persuade Jesus to leave them alone, we'd be very happy doing that. Wouldn't do us any good, but we would feel happy. And so we need that. But I wanted to also to apply this particular text in a gospel way. Only the Lord Jesus is needful. When it comes to eternal salvation, only the Saviour is needful. It doesn't mean need good works. As I've often told you before, sometimes when things happen to us, we come out with, I don't deserve that. And that is proof positive that we still aren't trusting in grace. We're looking for deserts for what we've done. We're still stuck on works. But as far as the gospel is concerned, none other name can save us. None other religion. No other things. No actions of our own parts. No attempts to be good. All these things. They're not needful. It's just the Saviour. Now, of course, there's much more to it than that. But if things need to be brought down to an irreducible simplicity, one thing, and that's Jesus. But of course, Jesus himself represents much else. As God, who did no sin, he represents that we are sinful. So when we think of one thing and we think of the Lord, our sinfulness flares up. When we think of the Lord, we think also of his death upon the cross. And we ask ourselves, well, why? And the answer that the Bible gives, of course, is that it atones for our sin. So the further question behind that is, do I have sin? Am I not acceptable with God? Can I not justify myself with God? But all these things may be worked out in the human mind from the one thing that is needful, which is Jesus. Lock in on that. And with the help of the Bible and the help of the Holy Spirit, all the other things that need to be worked out, such as atonement, salvation, resurrection, eternal life, and many other things, can come as a basis of that key. And there are times in life when, in the life of a non-believer, so many things are going on that what needs to be latched onto is one thing. If it's a question of reading up loads of histories, if it's a question of reading comparative religion, then that isn't going to be done. But if Jesus, Son of God, can be presented to the human heart, then that will lead us to eternal salvation. One thing is needful, but a choice is also needful. Mary has chosen that good part. We know that many people hear about the Lord Jesus at church or at school. But in very many cases, it does not stir up a commitment to him personally. He's just another fact along the way. And until an individual not only sees concerning the Lord Jesus who he is and what it means for the human race that he is a saviour, but in addition, until a person commits himself to that saviour, there is no effectual salvation. The gospel certainly says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But equally it takes with it not merely a mental condition, but a commitment to that Saviour. My life is bound up in the bundle of life with that Saviour. That Saviour is the one who will save me. I am intimately bound up with such a one. The Lord Jesus is the only Saviour. But I need to be utterly committed to him. The words are always opposite, that no one comes unto the Father but by him. And thirdly, this shall not be taken away. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Anyone who commits their life into the hands of the Lord Jesus will not be let down. We like to emphasize that before we choose Christ, Christ chose us. And that is absolutely true. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and picked you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit. But we come to it mostly thinking that we've made the choice. That's the way it hits us. And it's only upon reflection afterwards, very often, that we realise how far we are responding to the initial love of the Saviour. We thought we were doing it all, but in fact, it was the call of the Saviour calling us unmistakably. Joshua was able to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you shall serve." And the Bible does use this word, choose. Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away. If an individual chooses the good part, the person of Jesus, the dependence upon him, the atonement for sin, the service of him, the being sanctified from all evil, that will never be taken away. None can pluck his people out of his hand. I much prefer that. We often say, once saved, always saved. But that's a bit brash. There are things that can appear to go wrong en route. But the Lord said, nobody shall pluck them out of my hand. That shall not be taken away, that good part. And when considered as a whole, you sometimes need that simplicity. The Saviour, the choice, and never to be let go of. It's what we all need. We need a Saviour. We need him. We need to be with him and he with us in a state that shall never, never end. And spiritually, this is the most wonderful thing that can happen to anybody. I put it like that because I'm quite sure Martha was saved. Quite sure she trusted in the Lord Jesus, as did Mary and as did Lazarus. And that the situation arose with her being dealt with concerning her natural being, which needed the sanctifying influence of the Saviour, but in a gospel way. Jesus is the one thing needful. "I choose Christ," said the old chorus. Possibly that was out of place, because those who wrote it didn't believe that he chose us first, but we do. And that will never end. May the Lord grant us the certainty of that faith. Amen.